Welcome to Vanderpump Rules Party, the only Vanderpump Rules podcast that isn't produced by a major entertainment network. Here we will hit you with real Facebook on the hit Bravo TV reality show. You won't find any filtered comments here. Holly and Sarah tell it like it is. So raise your glasses, VPR fan, and let's get real.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Vanderpump Rules Party. I'm Holly.
I'm Sarah.
And we are here to go over season 5, episode 13, Ambush. And my blood is still pumping because this was a good one.
Yeah, like you said at the end, you're like, I don't know what this feeling is. This is so weird. Like, because we both had mad love for Sandoval and we were both like super confused by it. Because like, it was just feelings we've never had before.
I've never had that feeling about him in the 5 seasons that the show has been on. And I wanted to, I didn't know what to do. I was thinking, like, do I want to rush and give him a hug? What? He was good looking to me. Everything was just like, I don't even know.
He was just cool.
I was like fangirling. He was like a Justin Bieber.
And everything he said was spot on. And he didn't care about like dissing his own friends because he's like, what's right is right. And he's like, and you could see the horror on his face when they all walked in. Like, that was real. He didn't know they were coming.
And I 100% would have wanted him to be my friend in that moment.
Yeah.
And I felt bad how James jumped down his throat. And then he went over and put the others in their place. It was, woo, it was good.
I mean, and hopefully everyone watched Andy Cohen afterwards and saw the white Kanye West, where he does clarify that he was just in the moment. And he might have just assumed Tom brought Jax, where, you know, he really didn't. But, you know, they were sitting together. I guess it's a fair assessment.
I mean, I think that anytime something like this happens in reality TV, it's like the worst possible thing that can happen. Anytime they ambush someone, it always turns bad. It's like they have the mother-in-law show up somewhere unannounced and you just see the look of horror on the cast member's face that they know that they've been set up.
And this is so bad. Like, I mean, everything Sandoval said was right. Like, really, you got him, like, egged him on at these other two jobs, which, I mean, yeah, James got himself fired, but Jax really wasn't an instigator. They all were. It's like, just move on from it. It's like the Lala thing. Like, move on. He's not in your life. Who cares? But like, and then like little minion Carter, DJ, it's like, really? Just go away.
Yeah, that was a shocking scene. And I was really looking forward to that scene because I was hoping to see a little bit more out of Kristen and Carter and Jax. I was hoping that they would be a little more mature about it. And I was shocked at what I saw. Maybe there was a lot of alcohol involved. I don't know. But, whew.
I don't think from James, though. I think he was sober.
Yes, yes.
And he didn't start it, as we rewound like 5 times. And then Sandoval confirmed it later. It's like, you threw the first drink, you know.
And then James, when he was on Watch What Happens Live, it sounds like Jax threw his drink at James. James caught it and threw it back at Jax.
Yeah.
And then he also said that Jax slipped as he was running after him, which who knows if that was true, but it was a funny response.
Well, and then Jax tweets, oh, he's a pussy, he's a coward, he ran away. He's at his job, which is a new job. That to have respect for your employer and your job, that is what you should do.
Yeah.
Like, why would he risk getting fired to get in a fight with a douche that doesn't matter to him?
And I always think if you're going to get into a fight with someone, you don't want to do it in that sort of environment. Things were going to go down if I would have run away.
Oh, not, I remember Chris. Oh, yeah.
Not because I'm scared of Jax or whatever, which I think James is a little bit, though.
Well, I mean, he should be, but.
Yeah. But I don't think that he's a pussy for running away.
No.
Not at all.
He's actually mature. But then he heard Kristen piping, ha, we got him kicked out. We got him. It's like, no, you actually didn't.
Yeah.
It's like, she's all proud of herself. Like, she has that much power as this, well, what she thinks is a hot woman.
Yes.
But she's annoying.
Yeah, so let's jump into this episode and break it down. So it starts at Villa Blanca, and there's this Wesley character who is bartending, and Lisa says that she wants him to learn how to...
Oh, maybe new cast member introduction segue.
Maybe. He was good looking. He looked good making drinks. So Tom and Ariana are asked to come in by Lisa to show him how to make some of the drinks, and they name dropped the Sir Cosmo, the Pump and Glory.
You know, and I made a note, but this is not, I just don't even want to talk about it now because of my new Sandoval crush. You know, a Cosmo is not exactly a complicated craft cocktail where you're like, okay, just watch how I do it, man. But I don't even want to rip on him at this point.
Well, Lisa did correct Wesley on his Cosmo that the color wasn't as dark of a pink as... Oh,
okay. Wasn't the pomptini pink or
he
whatever.
He needed to still work on it.
Okay. So I'll give Sandoval the benefit of the doubt. Because, yeah, I'm just not inclined to rip on him right now.
Me neither. I seriously am, like, stuttering over this. I'm like, Tom? So he mentions to Lisa, Ariana, and Wesley that he is going to take DJ James to hypnotherapy. And they all kind of laugh about that. And Wesley mentions that James has been nothing but friendly.
He's never had a problem with him there.
No, the one time that he came in.
Yeah.
So then we get to flash to another scene where DJ James Kennedy is having lunch with his mother. So what did you think about this mother scene?
Well, I loved how he talked about, they both talked about, it was all around jealousy, not his personality or the way he acts up at all. It's all, everyone's jealous. And then he talks about, you know, obviously he's such a threat to everybody. I mean, that's obvious.
Yes.
And then he talked about, you know, the hair perfect and everything, like hashtag hair perfect. Like, clearly everyone in the cast that hates James, they're just mad. They're mad about his hair. They're mad that he's British, and they're mad that he's a triple threat.
I mean, if I would love to have a mother that would back me up on my crazy thoughts. Like, yes, Holly, everyone is so jealous of how pretty and successful you are. Just keep doing you. Like, I don't know. I would probably be famous right now if my mother had spoken to me like that. What? I was confused when he was trying to tell his mother that he got fired from Pump, and he did like a pie analogy. I wasn't quite getting that.
Yeah, he got pied from Pump, and
he's like, there's a lot of pieces to a pie.
Yeah.
And Lisa has a lot of slices. Like, it was, I really, maybe that was like a British thing. I'm not sure. But I was like, pie, okay. So he mentions that he has a performance coming up and his mother wants to attend, and they talk about Raquel. They like Raquel. And James tells his mom, you know, Kristen is talking shit and she needs to get a life. And the mom goes in on Kristen.
This is where your jaw dropped and you're like,
I just thought it was possibly one of the meanest things a woman could say to a woman. It was savage. I couldn't believe that a mom was saying that about a girl.
Well, and then just in, okay, assuming, like, you know, every woman desperately wants to have children, which they don't. So I'm taking it from the other perspective of, you're saying because of Kristen's behavior and her karma, she's not going to have kids. So basically every other mother out there that hasn't been able to have kids, they've obviously are very evil people. I mean, just her whole implication was off and offensive.
Yes. I think that that's why my jaw dropped so hard is I personally have had trouble getting pregnant, and I would not wish that on anyone. And when you are going through that, you can't help but think, oh my God, is this something that I did? And so the fact that she said that, it almost, I bet you she has had an issue. She has had an issue with that, and she wants Kristen to feel that pain. Like, there, you don't say that
she
comment.
She just had the one kid.
I think. Don't make that comment unless you know how much that hurts, I think.
Yeah, you're right. I remember one of the Dixie Chicks talking about that. Like, they totally questioned about, like, because it's my fault. I did something to deserve this, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's
just
horrible.
Like, in. You just think that it's going to be fine. You never would. And for, I don't know. Yeah. I just, you would think like it'd be like the most offensive thing. It'd be like you, like C-U-N-T or something like that. But I don't know. That was a little below the belt hit for me. I didn't like that.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I don't even have children. And I thought that was pretty trashy.
Yeah, just, and from coming from just woman to woman, I thought that, ooh, like, yikes.
Exactly.
And even James kind of made a face like, whoa, like, calm down, mother. And I thought it was interesting that he hadn't seen his mom lately, that there's still a little bit of divorce tension there.
Yeah,
and
so maybe it was her that wanted the divorce or
maybe.
Something.
So then it's a lot of mother-daughter, mother-son relationships this episode. Then we jump over to Sherry and Brittany, and Sherry's packing her bags to head home, and she's saying she's going to miss the dogs, and she has to bring up the whole Jack's roast.
Jax walks in with bagfuls of super healthy groceries because they're going clean, and so naturally, you know, he whips out some Doritos and orange juice because they're eating healthy now.
I mean, sometimes I will convince myself that by buying groceries I'm eating healthy versus eating fast food, and I feel like that sometimes, like, oh, like five chips instead of a large french fry has to be an improvement. But the but yes, it was funny. And then he made another comment about, I can't wait till she's gone and I can just be in my underwear and eat hot wings out of the microwave.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Again,
ew.
Not on the healthy track there, Jax. So
maybe that's why he's the fattest cast member.
Probably. And again, his weight was brought up. Who brought it up this episode? Someone did. And he was like all upset.
Oh, at the tux fitting.
Oh, that was amazing. He's like, we all want this slim fit. And the guy's like, you're more of an athletic fit.
It's like, you're curvy.
Oh, gosh.
You're voluptuous.
Everyone wants to look like that.
He has such a pretty face.
Oh.
If only.
Your personality is great. You're really funny. Everyone likes to be around you. Don't worry.
You're not really a slim cut kind of guy.
Oh, gosh.
That's the best. And that's what he was most upset with at the roast. It wasn't like all the other stuff. He was most upset about the weight comment.
And, you know, sometimes when you gain a little bit of weight, you don't see it right away like other people do. And when you've looked a certain way your whole life, it is when someone makes a comment like that, you kind of are like taking it back. Like, what do you mean?
I mean, you can see in his face, but you don't see that day to day change.
No.
When you are that person, or when you see people every day. But I see it on the TV, like his face is like 3 times bigger than it was before. And he always had a big face, but now it's just like big swollen jowly, and his body's just thick. It's not bad. Obviously, he's not like an overweight dude. But,
no.
He's just, I mean, he's older. His metabolism's slowing down, I'm sure.
I mean, the change from season one to now is just, it's mind-boggling. It's, I mean, his whole face changed. And I don't know if it's the nose jobs or...
It's here, though. It's like the jowls.
The jowly.
And even the skin tone. I mean, and again, that's with age. I guess we've seen him age... I mean, that's normal.
Oh, yes. Okay, so Sherry is telling Brittany that she's a little concerned that he's cheated on every other girlfriend that he's been with, and that makes her a little worried. And Brittany assures her that hasn't happened, and she says, how do you know? And she says, because I've been with him every step of the way. Mm-hmm. So that was like a little awkward. And then Sherry says that she wants to speak to him about the whole homosexual thing. And so Jax walks in with the Ralph's bags and they sit down and get into it. And this was super awkward. I knew it was going to be awkward, but Jax gets defensive and he kind of just says, like, listen, I'm not homosexual. I have nothing against it. He gets that in right away and says that he did kiss. He named the person John on the cheek, but he says he also kisses his father on the cheek. He kisses his father on the lips. And when someone tried to respond to him, he said, "Don't attack me." And Brittany is like, "Don't speak to my mother like that," which I didn't take that as him being disrespectful to her at all.
Yeah, I mean, he was frustrating. He could be like, "Look, I just told you what happened. You can believe me or not believe me. It's your choice. I can't tell you anything more."
And he kind of made a comment like, "This is between me and Brittany. I don't really see how it involves you." And that pissed Brittany off. But I was glad he said that because my mom would never, ever say those things to any, like, that's, she was crossing a line, I think. And I think that Brittany kind of made a mistake with letting her cross that line. You need to kind of have your parents be in line. Otherwise, they're always going to be thinking that they can have an opinion.
Yeah.
So maybe that's just a being young thing.
Yeah.
So he storms out and she gets on her phone. She's like, "Sorry, mom. Like, let me text him and get him back in here." And so he comes walking back.
"What now?"
He's like, "What?" And she's like, "Oh, that tone." And then he has said this since the beginning of season five. "You don't know what I do for her. She's always sitting on the couch and I take care of her." That is so rude.
Yeah.
Even if she does, the fact that he describes it like that is so horrible.
Like, he sounds like annoyed, like she's this pesky little fly that just hangs on.
And like, and she needs to be taken care of in that way. And everything that I've seen, I don't see what he's talking about. Maybe there's something we don't see. I don't know.
Why doesn't she? She said she works more shifts than him. Why doesn't she just split the rent or something? Because it's not that expensive. We've seen where they live. Like, if she's working a lot of shifts,
they're according to Twitter today, they're moving. So they're moving into their new apartment, and the Toms met at a bar tonight, and Jax tweeted and was like, "Can I still meet up with you guys? I'm done moving." So I don't know if he went to meet up with them, but I thought that was, so they're moving into a new chapter of their life. But I thought that this apartment was pretty new. So
yeah,
maybe it's already been a year though, or
maybe the lease is up or whatever. Yeah.
So,
maybe they just got their paychecks from the season.
Yeah. So the mom basically ends that convo saying that she just wants them to be happy and to please stop being so awkward in front of her and
please go to church.
Yeah, to go to church. And Jax admits, "Maybe I do need Jesus." And again, like, I saw some Twitter posts on this saying that if Jax stepped into church, she would be struck by lightning, things like that.
He would melt.
Yes.
The holy water would like melt him like the Wicked Witch.
Yeah. So that kind of ended the whole Brittany and her mom thing. But I'm sure we're going to get to see a lot more of that on their new show.
Their spinoff.
Yes.
More hoop earrings. More plastic hoop printed tortoise shell earrings from Sherry.
Yes. But I don't know. Sherry caught a lot of flack this week for the stuff that she said last week. And a lot of the cast members were really quick to defend Brittany, her mom. So I'm willing to give Sherry another chance for sure and see, you know, what she's all about.
I mean, yeah. And maybe it was just kind of taken out of context or edited, whereas maybe she meant her concern was, "Oh, does he go both ways? Because I don't really want my daughter, you know,
right,
with someone that goes both ways." Or maybe she thinks she's exposed to something.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah. But I actually thought the way that Jax handled this by kind of just saying, like, "Either you believe me or not," was smart, because he kind of just kept her from talking, which could have got her into more trouble. Mm-hmm. And he ended it. So it worked. Good job, Jax. Yeah. Smooth one. So then the next scene was like watching paint dry on the wall, which it actually was. Lisa is there with her painter. And of course, she has to be like, "Here, let me show you how to do it." And she has to paint the wall. And all season we've been hearing about get the right pink, the dusty pink rose. And the wall was freaking purple.
Yeah, it was like an off, blah, bland, dusty purple.
You have to say what you said about the Old Navy thing.
I said it's like an Old Navy color because they're always like off. They're like the surplus material where the dye didn't work right. So they Old Navy buys up that fabric because every color at Old Navy is always off.
There's never like a red. It's always a rust.
Yeah.
And yes, that's really frustrating because sometimes I've gone there and I'm like, okay, I need to get a red shirt. And it's like, well, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
And it doesn't fit right.
Or it's like orangey red, or the greens are always some weird forest green, but like flatted out, like just terrible. Anyways.
Like a fuzzy green, like a vintagey forest green.
Yeah. Yeah. It just never works.
So in this scene, it is Katie, Peter, and Lisa, and they're kind of all talking about their painting, and she's like, oh, I just don't know, like, about my bachelorette. Like, you know, with everything that's happened, should I step in and plan more? And Lisa's trying to give her some advice and saying, no, like, if you're having girls who you trust do your bachelorette party, you should be fine. But actually, in this case, with these group of women, you should get involved. So,
I mean, the whole scene was basically a waste of time that we could have been spending more on the fight scene or something.
Yeah.
It was just like filler.
Yes.
I don't know, because Lisa can be funny and interesting, but watching paint being painted while
I like
Katie
that she
is the star of the scene.
Yes.
Sorry, that just is never going to work.
I like when Lisa just comes in a confessional, because usually her jokes are on point then, yeah, and it's quick, fast, yeah, and... That's Lisa I love, not seeing her pick out flowers and crap like that.
And also because she banters. She'll banter with Stassi or Kristen, or just, you know, it'll be one-sided because they're both just deathly afraid of her. But with Katie, it's just like there's nothing to banter with. There's nothing to – because, you know, Lisa probably doesn't see the psycho side of Katie. She's just boring. So why would Lisa – banter about her with her? There's just nothing to banter with, so therefore Lisa becomes boring in that scene because she's not at her finest.
And Peter too keeps getting stuck within these scenes, yeah, with these two. And it's
Peter and Rachel, they have the most like facial cameos but no words.
Yes. I would be so disappointed if I'm sure things are getting cut that they were hoping were going to get in there, because our scene got cut at the comedy club.
Yeah, and the whole reason anyone was at the comedy club was because of Rachel, and they don't even show her at all except for in this stupid Hung app skip.
Yes. Okay, so then we have another really exciting scene when the groomsmen and Ariana, yeah, go to check out suits, and this is where you know, they talk about the colors that they want, and it was kind of funny because Tom Sandoval was like, can I wear a tux? And what about a vest? Like, he is already trying to kind of be the, yeah, star of the wedding, which that was funny. Again, what the heck?
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm praising him again.
But he was being a good friend by saying, okay. You know, when Schwartz would say no, he'd be like, okay.
Yes. And so his tux is going to be forest green. And then he wants everyone else to have a black suit with the green forest tie to match. And yeah. What? Oh, and then so Tom says that he wants a vest, and then he kind of like he kind of pretends to cry. And they're like, oh, look at, I'm just like Stassi, and I cry. When I cry, yeah, I get what I want. And then Schwartz is like, oh, That's old Stassi, and Ariana's like, there's no difference.
Right.
So she got her little dig in.
Which really goes into the next scene where there really is no difference because, again, like Sheena said, Stassi's just comes in steamrolling. Like, they're talking about everywhere and anywhere, and she's just like, New Orleans. No, I think we need to do New Orleans. I think we need to. She's like, she did. She just steamrolled her idea, and everyone else was still talking. They said Katie wanted it by the water. Okay, if Schwartz and the boys want Bahamas, Katie said by the water, why are you in New Orleans?
Yeah.
Like, that it's, she did. She steamrolled them. And then.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the girls were all meeting, I guess, to discuss what they were going to do. And Sheena has to very loudly give her $500 cash, she says, yeah, to Kristen. She hands the envelope across the table of all the bridesmaids. Who is the maid of honor? I don't know who.
I'm is it like, does she have a sister or somebody or a friend from home?
Because Sheena made that comment. What did she
Unofficial
say?
Unofficial maid of honor.
Unofficial maid of honor. I was like, oh, I.
She probably has a sister.
Yeah. Or there's that other girl, I think possibly is it. I forget her name.
Yeah. But she said that comment in front of that girl.
Yeah.
Jen or something.
Yeah. Super awkward though. Yeah, so they're sitting there and they're texting back and forth with the guys saying, you know, and the guys are like, we want Vegas, Vegas. Everyone wanted Vegas. And Vegas is the classic
place.
Why
do they have to do it in the same city?
I don't know. Probably so everyone filming. Could have control over it.
Yeah.
And so the girls say Vegas is not an option. The Bahamas, I thought that sounded fun.
Yeah, and that would have been good camera time. And then Stassi's like, New Orleans is so cheap, but I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Are they staying at your house? Because there's nothing cheap about New Orleans. The hotels are expensive. Maybe the drinks are a little cheaper. Depends on where you go. The food's the same. The hotels are pricey. Like, I don't know what she's talking about.
Well, it'll be interesting to see where she stays and everything because you will be able to tell us what the price range is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe we'll be hearing from Sheena again complaining about the envelope she has to pass to Kristen. Oh, it'll probably be to Stassi, though.
I mean, unless they get an Airbnb or something or stay at Stassi's house, but I doubt they will do that.
Yeah, so then Sheena kind of expresses, okay, fine, if we agree to do it in New Orleans, can we each get something that we plan? And Stassi says, well, okay, fine, you guys can all research what you want to, but then let me know what it is and I'll let you know if we can do that or not. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't be down for that.
And then throws out the best line. I mean, if we were doing it in Azusa, then I would let you be in control of everything.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I'm going to do my little Stassi thing right now. So I don't know if anyone has seen these memes that have been going around about this rap. This rap song is called Bad and Bougie. And there has been a meme that said the original Bad and Bougie chick is... now I can't think of her name. I'm going to ruin my whole segment. She's on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Is it Vivian? Is that the sister's name? Anyways, they say that she's the original bad and bougie.
Mom, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Shoot. What's the sister's name?
She is amazing.
Name? Yes. But I want to go on the record and say that I think that I think that Stassi is the original bad and bougie. And I think she's really going to give it to us in New Orleans. And so I want to play this in honor of Stassi. Here we go. I don't try nobody, grit the trigger. Nobody call up the gang and they come and get gang. Cry me a river, give you a tissue. Bad and bougie, bad. Cooking up dope with a Uzi. My niggas are savage, ruthless. We got 30s and 100 rounds too. My bitch is bad and bougie, bad. So Stassi, I just want to say that I think that you are bad and bougie and you're my favorite. Okay, so
what do you think makes her bad and bougie?
Bad as in, like, she is still, like, my favorite villain. And even when she's being bad, I still love it.
Okay.
And bougie as she always has to have, like, she has bougie taste.
Yeah.
And she's bougie with her wine and her...
Oh, her wine's... She has no taste in wine. Sorry.
Oh, she's trying, though. Yeah. I feel like I can relate to her in that way. Like, she's like, I don't know about wine, but I like it.
Yeah, she has bad taste. Hillary is what you're looking for.
Hillary, thank you.
It's
thank
Aunt
you.
Viv is the aunt.
Oh, shit. Okay. So bad and bougie, Stassi.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she's best when she's at her villain best, you know?
Oh, and then
when she tries to be righteous, it's just...
It's hard to watch.
That's when you hate her because you'll root for the villain because a villain makes a show.
Like Corinne.
Yeah. Because honestly, like, yeah, nobody likes Corinne, but you do like her because she's making the show entertaining.
Yes.
Because everybody else is very boring.
She loves to sleep, like Stassi.
So you just can't be the villain and then be like self-righteous and hypocritical. Then it's just like a really bad toxic combination.
Yes.
Because I used to like her too, and now I just can't this season.
Okay, well, I do want to comment on Stassi's confessional outfit in this episode. Did you notice that burgundy outfit and her lips? I thought that was a great look.
I know the lips. Yeah, someone else commented on that.
Okay, yeah, I agree. She did kind of steamroll everyone. And Sheena calls her, well, looks like Queen Stassi is back. Mm-hmm. That's right, bad and bougie. Okay, so at the end, they do a little chant where they're like, bridesmaid, ooh-ha-ha. So that's exciting. I think that we only have good episodes left in this season, man.
I want to see the Tom's a battered wife scene.
Oh my God.
And then, obviously in New Orleans, just because I will like the scenery. And that was on The Bachelor tonight. They were in New Orleans.
And the wedding. Cool. You'll know all about that too. The location of the wedding.
Yeah.
You guys have stayed in like the top places in that area.
Yeah, but they didn't stay at those places.
Well, I know, but they're, you like can in the woods. You can like compare it.
Yeah,
like
I
down.
Mean, it's beautiful. No matter, that's because it's like,
okay. Well, that's perfect. Perfect. Let's roll into the next scene. Do you think that they need to spend money on flowers? Is it so beautiful that flowers aren't needed?
Yeah, like that's just, I guess, personal taste. Like for me, it's such a waste because flowers die, and you're outside and. Like,
well, here's the thing. I think I agree that, like, I don't think flowers need to be like every, like, it doesn't need to be turned into like a second garden. Yeah. But everyone, the girls need to have their flowers.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
And then the guys,
but
with
that's
their
$5,000 or $15,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, of course, the bridal party and then some.
And then the, like, tables. And
yeah, some table pieces or along.
But not like seating. Not like a huge wall of flowers or something. That's dumb. I agree.
Yeah, it shouldn't be that much.
I'm literally dying to see the wedding, though, because of what we saw on Snapchat and Instagram. I'm scared.
Oh, and like when she was picking out those flowers with Lisa, those like roses, and she like,
she's like, these are there was all these like really beautiful colors, like whites and purples and greens. Yeah. And she turns to the one, like,
the
horrifying arrangement that
looks like orange and red and like rust roses.
It looks like you would give it to a clown.
Yeah,
like, yes. If you were having like
you would pull them out in,
yes,
like scarf roses.
Yes,
yes.
And it's like, that's, as she points to that and goes, oh my God, I love these. Like, what?
Oh my God, did you hear too, like, Stassi was talking about her baby bridal shower outfit. She's like, oh, it was just perfect. It was so chic, Katie. So chic. And I'm just like, are you talking about Katie? Because that's, you just can't say that word with her style. Like, that, it never works. She's never, ever looked chic or she's just her taste.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I kind of liked her bridal shower outfit.
You know, I don't even remember it. I just know that I've
never
seen her look good.
It was like a willowy lace sort of thing. It kind it semi-worked.
All right, I'll have to catch a rerun.
Okay, so the next scene is at James' apartment.
So the prenup. Is that what you were leading into, do you think?
No, I was leading you into the florist and her saying that her budget was $6,000, and Tom saying that she doesn't need flowers. But that's all that there was
that. Okay, yeah, go on to your next
scene. Then the next one was James' apartment with Tom, and they have the hypnotist person come in, Barbara, and they try to hypnotize James. And I don't know if that worked. I was kind of expecting to see him cluck like a chicken and stuff, like they were saying. I was hoping that, you know, he's gonna sit up and be like, what? I don't know. I was hoping for some more funny
it was
scenes.
Again, a wasted scene.
Like, yeah, he just happened. Was laying there and took a nap.
Yeah, that was boring.
So that was but I once again, Tom coming in kind of being even if you think that Tom is like full of shit or whatever, he's always positive,
trying to think of something that could help him.
And giving, I mean, those were nice words of encouragement. There was no negativity there. It was only positive things. And I don't know. I thought that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Oh, and that was that is when he dropped the hair perfect line. He was he was kind of telling he was telling Barbara. He's like, you know, it's just like, I just want people. She's like, what do you want? Tell me what you want. And he's like, I want to make music. I want people, when they come to my performances, to know that I'm not a joke and
not just a British kid with hair perfect.
I mean, the lines this guy has,
and that I'm more than a threat or something.
Yes. Hair perfect. I mean, the whoever the co-star tonight on Watch What Happens Live was really messed up his hair.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure that he wasn't happy about that because hair was perfect until she touched it.
Yeah, he didn't look happy.
No. And he looked great on that show. I'm sorry. I don't think I'm not really. James is not my type, but that blue suit was his color. He looked as good as he could tonight. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the lady's kind of telling him, like, I don't need to drink to have a good time, you know. And so that's pretty much it. It's pretty nothing really happens. And then we slide on over to Ariana at some horse stable, and she tells us that she had a horse named Raven for 30 years, or it was 30 years old.
Yeah, so 22 years, because she was 8 or something.
Okay, okay. And a really touching scene from Ariana, kind of the first time where I was relating to her. I've been waiting for something with both Tom and Ariana that we could kind of relate to them. And I felt like finally in this episode, I can say something positive. It was really, first of all, she looked like she was a great writer, which I didn't know that.
Yeah, I see her post a lot riding.
Okay.
Or with horses.
And I think anyone that cares about animals is a good person. So I appreciated that she connects with something other than herself. And it was really sad about her horse dying. That's sad.
Yeah, but she got him when they were both 8 and then he died when she was 30 and he was 30.
Like, who the hell has a horse? Like, that is like some fairy tale.
Kaya had a horse.
What?
Kaya had a horse.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Why didn't you have one?
I didn't want one.
Oh.
I don't know. We had her horse that was like, I don't know. It wasn't my thing.
Was it like on your grounds?
Mm-hmm.
You guys had animals? Like full on, was there anything else?
Dogs and cats.
No, like goats, pigs, no. Chickens, things no. Like that. No. You didn't ever like have chickens that laid their own eggs. You know how people
no,
do that?
I would though if I like take over the estate.
Yes.
No,
yes.
I would totally have chickens to create my own cage free life.
Yes. Eggs. Some brown eggs.
I probably wouldn't milk any goats or cows, oh, but
no.
I would milk some almonds.
Yeah. Yeah. I love almond milk.
Just saying. But anyways.
Yes. Okay. So Sheena, Tom, and Ariana are at the horse stables, and they're kind of talking about how Tom went with James, and he's, you know, hoping that he can have power over his emotions, and they talk about how he has this show coming up and whatever. So kind of, a scene leading us up to what's going to happen. So the next scene is all of the friends are going to this little painting date, which I've seen. This is like such a girls night out sort
yes,
of activity.
I've seen that. Like,
which I'm kind of surprised we haven't done this. I've never wanted to do it because I can't draw for shit. So yeah. I would never want to.
And they just all have you paint the same thing. And I don't know. I guess if I were wanting to paint, I would just want to be free and make my own, like not be like, okay, now make this little tree to the left, and I don't know.
Yeah, and I feel like there's always some person who like veers off of what you're supposed to do and does it different and f's, you know. Then everyone's like, oh, they're the creative one, you know, out of the yeah. bunch. There's always one at in every girls night picture, look at it, and there's always one
yeah.
d-bag that has to do something different.
Totally.
So okay, wait, shoot. Maybe they were just talking about the painting thing, because now I think we actually go to the prenup thing. And
which is ridiculous.
This scene made me so uncomfortable and kind of happy at the same time.
Proud of how accomplished you
are. Yes, yes. So, you know, they go to the attorney's office and they sit down, and The room looked very classically like a law office, but then the attorney rolls in a flannel shirt.
Like open, like down midway down his chest.
And very close to death.
Yeah.
The guy was old.
Just the outfit. And like, not even if it was like casual Friday, it was like half unbuttoned, halfway down, like 1976 or something. Like, Yeah, that was super bizarre.
It was really weird.
I guess they got the discounted rater. They should have just went to We the People and done it themselves because...
Well, with that budget, they should have. Okay, so they...
There was nothing to... So, well, my question was, is usually the prenup is for you take what you go into it, but then once you're married, then you're like, everything's shared unless there's specific clauses, I guess, but... I don't know. It just seems like, what's the point? You have no assets at all.
That's why I'm sure that he has something that we don't know about. It has to be.
How is he paying for the wedding? Which it clearly seems like he is, because we've seen him make the payments when they call up to put the deposit down on Big Sur.
Right, right.
And then he freaks out about the money. So it's like he's paying for it, but yet they said, oh, she's richer than he is with her $4,700 plus $200 in checking. I mean,
that was insane. So, yeah, so the attorney sits down and he's like, okay, let's see what we have going on. And literally the most interesting thing that happened in that conversation was them discussing their dog.
Yeah.
Custody.
They got super into that and detailed and concerned. So it's like, basically, you guys are really talking about this divorce separation as like a huge possibility, like a super viable option. Like it, you know, you really need to sort out this custody thing. It's like, because you both know you're getting divorced.
It was, yeah. And then, okay, I know why I brought up the Sheena thing and the before. So when they're at the horse stables, Sheena is kind of laughing at the fact that Tom and Katie are going to get a prenup. She's like, I told Shay I wasn't going to do a prenup with him because, like, when I marry someone, I trust them and there will be no prenup. And Tom and Ariana actually kind of tried to say, well, you know, things do happen and, you know, maybe it's not that bad of an idea. And she's like, no, I'm
oh
good.
My God.
That was awkward.
Yeah, now she's out there with interviews saying how he's spending your money. And
I haven't heard any of that.
You haven't?
No.
Oh, yeah. It was like tons of money that he was spending of hers.
Like for studio time or something?
Probably.
Yikes.
Yeah. How did you not hear that?
I don't know.
All right. I'll find it and send it to you.
So anyways, it just ended up being like, I felt like the whole scene was basically for Tom to ask the attorney like, it's not that weird that we have nothing and we're doing a prenup, right? And he's like, no, it's smart. You don't want to, when that day comes that something happens, you don't want to have to go through this again. Like, go through what again? Seeing that you have nothing? You don't want to go through that with each other? Or, I don't know, maybe.
And like, how much are they possibly going to get from here on out? Because the show, you know, it's already hit its height. It's probably going to decline.
Mm-hmm.
His modeling career is not going to incline. He's older now.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly, he's not gonna blow up and be the next, you know, whatever. I don't see her getting any kind of side business or spinoff. Like,
wait,
she's not interested.
What about her blog?
Her blog, which like has gone where? Yeah. So like the only product she's pushing is the same product that every housewife and every cast member they do I wear. Like, I just don't.
I know.
I don't know where their money's coming from for the future to fight over. So I think it'll be an easy divorce outside of the dogs.
Yes. So yeah, that was just super uncomfortable. It was super uncomfortable to hear that Katie had $200 in her checking and $4,700 in her savings. Not that that's pretty good, but I don't know. I guess it was just so shocking for me to hear that. That was all. And that's scary, but also relatable. So thanks for that, Katie.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next scene was with the famous Ellie, who has made a couple of appearances on the show, obnoxious appearances, talking to Sheena. And they are chatting about the fact that James is going to be, you know, performing at this club. And she's wondering if Raquel knows everything and she just really wants to just burn him publicly.
Yeah. This is Ellie desperate to be on the show. So you got to create some drama to become a cast member. And then I can see the other cast members like Sheena supporting this, thinking, hey, drum this drama up. You can get rid of Lala for good and you can be the new Lala. But the problem is, it's like, no, you can't.
Yeah. Again, I just can't relate to someone that is, she's just making her, I don't feel sorry for Ellie at this point because she's doing, it's not like she's like, you know, I just really had feelings for him and I feel misled that he did this. If maybe I would feel bad for her if she was doing that, but it's just all to kind of get the girls' attention. Like, you guys like me, right? Like, look at, I'm trying to take down James. Isn't that what you want?
Both her and Gigi. It's, well, I mean,
Gigi was,
she's maybe a little scorned, but they're both trying for airtime and trying for,
Gigi came off as like an angry drunk, I thought. Yeah. Like super, and to go after Raquel.
Yeah.
Even though Raquel is the one who approached her, I think. Or was it, I thought that she said something first. We may need to rewatch that scene, but
yeah.
I couldn't believe, I was, okay, well, I'll go in order. We'll get to that. Okay, so the next we have Jax and Brittany. They're having dinner after Mother Sherry is gone, and they're kind of just recapping, and he says, you know, I'm sorry about your mom and everything that happened, and Brittany's like, you know, I just wish that you would show my mom more respect and blah, blah, blah. And he says, so, you know, what's going on with this church thing? You know, I'm not into organized religion. And this is actually a pretty funny scene because he rattled off like a rhyme that I've been a church girl my whole life, you know, had to go to private school from first to 12th grade. Yeah, and I had
church camp.
I'd never heard this.
Well, I mean, it was probably like a Johnny Appleseed kind of song, like a camp song. And they just
it was like, take your elbows off the table.
It's like Jason, strong and able. Yes. Take your elbows off the table.
Nice.
Oh, there's something about, it's not a something, it's a first class dining table. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Jason, strong and able, take your elbows off the table. This ain't no something like Pig Pen. This is a first class dining.
Man, maybe we should contact DJ James Kennedy to duet with you. It was pretty good. And so then he's like, you know, I just don't want to go somewhere where they're throwing water around. And I just don't know what all that is about. He's like, and then it always made my hair oily, my face oily. Like, dude.
Well, that was just you.
Yes. So then Brittany says, you know, Ellie and Gigi are talking about going to the study to see DJ James perform. And Jack says that he wants to go. But he does say, you know, I do have that probation thing. I apologize now for what may happen. And I don't know. I don't know why Jax is feeling the need to interject into DJ James Kennedy's life so much.
Yeah, he's not working with him anymore. So, like, if he got on his nerves at work, whatever, that's done. Now you're seeking him out.
Maybe he really got to him. Maybe it really, you know, he said, you old man, and things like that to him. And he just...
Yeah, he hits him where it hurts.
Uh-huh. So, we'll get into that. So, where are we now? Okay, so now we're back at the painting date. And Katie says that she's not very good at art and that she's better at coloring.
So funny.
And quotes, there's no mistakes, only happy accidents. And they kind of start talking about their New Orleans trip.
No, we were talking about how Annabelle said Nick talks like he has a mouthful of marbles, Nick the Bachelor. And that's totally true because he's like, oh, I really enjoyed this one-on-one date. But you know what? I've just figured out Katie, because I'm always like, no, you said it wrong. Because she's like, whoa. She talks like she has like a huge wad of bubble gum in her mouth. And she's like trying to draw. Like it looks that way and then it sounds that way. Like it just, there's something in it. It just came to me. That's what I feel like.
She does really have a different way of speaking. And she really uses her lips to talk.
She's trying to pucker and pout.
Yeah, I actually, have been trying to figure out too what it is about the way that she talks. And that's the first thing I thought of was when she named her website that is, did someone mention that about her mouth? Because I definitely can't stop looking at it. So it's maybe that is on brand for her. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyways.
So then Tom goes in and awkwardly says at this painting date, I just want to make sure everything is good between you two, and looks at Stassi and Ariana. These two are on opposite sides of the painting party, and it could not have been more awkward. Ariana was not having it. She just pretty much kept looking at her own painting, and Stassi was stopping her painting to look at Ariana, yeah. Not look at her. And the tension was real. And how did they start the conversation?
Oh my God, it was just what Stassi was saying. It was.
It rude, felt abrasive
and rude to say that. And it hurt her feelings. And Ariana was not looking at her, was like, well, I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, sorry, dude.
And she's like, you're being callous and condescending. And then Ariana's response was, it's fine.
Yeah. And then Sandoval, no. She can't make you feel any certain way.
Oh.
You control how you feel. That was awesome.
Yeah, she's like, it's not for me, and you hurt my feelings. And he jumps in and he's like, she can't make you feel a certain way. You choose how you feel.
Yeah.
And right. He's like, what? It's a fact. Like, I mean, right. He whomped on that so quick, and Stassi was kind of left just sitting there.
She's just like,
confused. And so then Katie jumped in and said, well, I care, and this is affecting what I think about what's going on. And you can tell that Katie's trying to draw a line in the sand, like saying, listen, either she is one of the girls like us and gets along with everyone, or she's not going to be a groomsman. You can tell she is pissed. And poor Tom, the Toms are trying to make everything work, and Ariana really isn't giving an inch, and
she's also not fueling it. She's fueling it by not reacting and not fighting back. But like, she doesn't instigate any of this stuff. Stassi keeps going in and instigating and pushing, and Ariana just is like, keep pushing. It's not going to change anything.
Ariana just keeps on saying, I really have no interest in being your friend. And yeah. That I think is just really bothering Stassi, that she has no way of getting in, and that pretty much she likes everyone but Stassi. And I think that Stassi wants to somehow get along, and it's causing a huge problem.
So what they do is they keep taking it out on Sheena, because she's the in-between Ariana and the three evil stepsisters.
Yes.
So they keep, again, next week, well, let's call Sheena fake, because we can't go after Ariana because Ariana doesn't have it. We can bully Sheena, though.
Yes.
So it looks good next week when Sheena doesn't look like she has it. She takes it either. So we'll see.
I feel like that is the only way to deal with these girls, is the way that Sheena reacts in that scene where we saw the preview, because she can talk until she's blue in the face, but they don't hear it. I think they only respond to kind of violence like that, because you can see all of them kind of go, oh, yeah, she's talking.
And they never see all the shit she does do for them in order to support them. Like when she walked away from Lala during the roll-ups, like, I just don't want to have this conversation. I feel like, you know, like, she does a lot of those things to be the supportive friend they expect her to be, but then they never see it. They just call her out on, you know, whatever they want to see, and they don't ever give her props for the stuff she has done.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Yeah, totally. So that seems like it is still a problem, and that we're going to see many issues with that. Like, is Ariana going to go with the girls or the guys? I have a feeling she's going to go with the guys. But it's going to be a problem. And
I hope she does.
And in the coming attractions also, we see Katie just lose it on Tom, saying, you made her a groomsman when I didn't want her involved in anything. So she's going to try to cause another little problem with poor Tommy boy.
She's such a nag. She is like Shannon Bedore season 1 times 100.
Oh, good one.
She's like, nag, 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 nag.
Shannon Bedore, that is true.
That first season. Okay, but you know what? Again, everything's ruined. Like, because I already know what happens, because
they, yeah, it
but
goes.
Even now, Like, they just all spent the weekend in Vegas. All of them. Ariana, Stassi, all of them. Mm-hmm. The whole weekend. They went to Britney. They went to Absinthe. They went to, you know, like, did everything together. So it's like, are they filming or are they just all that good of friends? Either way.
I'm sure they're filming.
Already?
Maybe.
Yeah. Because they were all there.
Well, they're probably filming Britney's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I bet that's it.
I bet that's it. Because it was for Britney's birthday. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Britney's friend was there. Do you notice that too?
Yeah.
And she looks like she's a new character.
Oh, there's a guy too that...
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's a girl. And it looks like her social media is amping up. She looks fun. Okay, so then the next thing is we are at DJ James Kennedy's performance. And Sheena and Brittany and Jax are sitting at a table when it looks like it's like a very much a club sort of standing room thing. They're at a looked like a reserved booth kind of in the back. And when they arrived, it, you know, didn't really seem like that big of a deal. And then Tom and Ariana arrive and he's like, what the F, Jax, what are you doing here?
And also Kristen Carter, he was like, what the hell is going on?
And Jax says that he has an interior motive for being there. And he thought
he's Teresa Giudice with vocabulary.
Yeah, he's like, what? I thought it was interior motive because we're in a club. That's it, in the interior. Makes sense, Jax. I get it. So they're at this place called The Study. And I did not understand what it meant when Tom Sandoval said that it's like in The Matrix when the black cat walks by twice, because I hate that effing movie and cannot handle it. So I did not get that scene reference, but I'm assuming that it was some bad luck thing, like he said.
I never saw it.
So then, I know. What's an Eskimo sister?
I think that means when you've kissed or fucked the same dude.
Okay, because they, like, how many times did they drop that this episode? Yeah. It was so annoying.
What's up, Eskimo sisters?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, look, it's the Eskimo sisters are here. So those two walk in, and you could just tell that they were ready and on the prowl to F some ish up. And Kristen is quoted as saying she wants to watch that motherfucker burn. And So the girls are kind of like in like the dance floor area. And like I said, I don't know how this exchange started because I was so thrown off by the fact that it was Raquel and Gigi and Ellie in the scene instead of DJ James Kennedy. I thought it was so strange that the attack came at the girlfriend.
Like, why are you going after her? Yeah.
And I feel like Gigi tried to deliver this line that was
the feminism line.
The feminism line. And are these unicorns in this fantasy or
in your reality?
Yeah. It was like, okay.
And then if I was Raquel, I'd be like, well, thank you. I'm not actually Miss California, but thank you, because that's huge. She's like, aren't you like when you're Miss California supposed to have like the trait of like feminism? And it's like, okay, well, she's not Miss California, but thanks for the compliment.
And by you attacking another girl, that's not being a feminist either. Like, it was just exactly. Like, nice try trying to, you know, make her feel dumb or whatever, but it just came off really awkward. But I was really, I actually, every time Raquel speaks, I'm like a little horrified because it sounds like she maybe takes a lot of Xanax or something. She speaks kind of slowly, but maybe that's because she's just being careful of what she's saying. But she spoke very clearly in this scene. And really,
when you do the pageants and the questions, you're supposed to speak slow and clear and articulate.
Yes. And the number one rule is if you have to think of your answer, you repeat the question back. Right. So she's like, do you know what, you know, James did? Do I know what James did? Yes.
So you're saying you slept with James, my boyfriend, and then you're saying you slept with... Okay, well, interesting, because you did not.
So then James walks up and kind of walks like up to the side of Raquel, and she turns her head to him and says, well, I just met Gigi and Ellie. And then which one of them gave the clothes? Was that
Gigi?
Gigi's like, oh, here's your clothes. And he's like, get your dumpy ass out of here or something. Like,
yeah, he said, you're disgusting. Get your, I would never be with a dumpy ass like you.
And that's where I wish he wouldn't have said that, because he was doing well until he kind of went that
route. He could have said, you're disgusting as far as your behavior, but he was talking about her looks.
So. Yes. And that's, and that, I kind of understand why these girls,
those clothes from Kristen, by the way,
would be seeing red. You know, he says things to just fire people up. He's really good at that.
And he said something like that to her before.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's kind of asking them to.
So then, yeah, I guess it's easy to see why they want to burn him and turn red. But like, I wouldn't go after the girl.
So then, yeah. So then she slaps him. Like full on, like open hand slaps his face like pretty hard, mm-hmm. where I don't even know if you'd call it a slap, but more of like a.
And then they're like, he touched me. It's like she was trying to get him to react so she could get like a domestic violence on him or something.
And he did. Like he did. Kristen was all like. He didn't. Yeah. And Tom Sandoval jumped in. And this is when I was just in shock. Not that he jumped in, but it was the way that he did it. He was just like, hey, this isn't right. Like, what are you doing? And kind of trying to make everyone take a breath in the situation, and was very clear about why he was doing what he was doing and making the most sense out of the entire place.
Yeah.
Everyone's being held down and they're being separated. And Tom is telling... what's her name again? Gigi. Like, Gigi, what are you doing?
It's like this why is not a good look.
Yeah. And why, what are you guys doing? Like, this is, he's working. What, why? Why? Yeah. Are, and yeah, I think he definitely made them look stupid and made us
Jax and Kristen too. When he's like, this isn't a good look on any of us. He's like, I can't defend this. I can't back you on this. This is gross, you know?
I think that James doesn't have a lot of fans out there, but to the way Tom stepped in, you had to be on James' side for this. Mm-hmm. He didn't deserve that. Even if he did do what he did, it was wrong the way this whole thing was handled. So then after that whole altercation happens, another one happens. And Jax is kind of standing off to the side, and it looks like there was some sort of exchange or something. And Jax throws his glass at James, and James catches it and hurls it back at Jax, and it shatters. Did it shatter?
Yeah.
Well, and then they just, Jax leaps out, and there's like a scuffle, and then a lot of people jumped into that huddle. Either James had a lot of friends there or there was a lot of crew, but all of a sudden there was a lot of people ready to get violent, and Jax was held down and James was whisked outside, and you could tell security, production, everyone was right there.
And also, Kristen was like, haha, we got that kid kicked out. It's like, no, you didn't. So for those of you that didn't watch Andy Cohen After, no, he did not get kicked out. Security was protecting him. And because he was ambushed and attacked.
Have you noticed that every time that Kristen fights, like that a fight breaks out, the way she postures, like she never leans away from the fight. She's always leaning into it. Like
about to pounce. And she's so excited and happy.
Yes.
Like she's like, oh, I love this.
Yeah. I would be a little scared of her. I think that she'd be a really ruthless fighter. And yeah, she definitely feeds on that.
Yeah.
Feeds. That's exactly the amazing part of. So it's like that was a great scene and my blood was boiling. But then. The next scene is James puffing on a cigarette, trying to cool himself down. And he's like, what is going on? He's like, these lowlifes. And he's like, fuck you too, Tom, for bringing your lowlife friends. From day one, they've been your lowlife friends, and this is your fault. And that was shocking because we as a viewer saw what really happened, and Tom didn't know what was going on. He did defend James. Everyone was mad at him. And James even said on the after show, like, yeah, you know, I was seeing red. And then did you hear him say, can someone get my jacket? It's Gucci. I need my suit jacket. It's Gucci.
I didn't hear that.
He said it like twice so we could all hear that his Gucci jacket needs to be.
Or like his Yeezys.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, don't get anything my Yeezys. And then so outside, you know, there's like a little altercation too. And Tom approaches Jax and Kristen. He's like, what are you doing? Like, it wasn't enough that you got him fired. You have to do this again. And yeah. Kristen, in her little condescending way, is like, are you BFFs with James now? And he's like, no. And I don't need to be best friends with someone to see how like a human is being treated. Yeah. Which again, like, Tom, what is going on in this episode?
Are you evolving? Are you maturing? Are you actually getting cooler?
I mean, he was the voice of the people this episode, right. For sure. This is not a good look. Just, I feel like that hit Jax right where he needed to. And I don't think Kristen cared about it, but Jax, I could tell he was like, what do you mean it's not a good look? Like, it makes me look fat or what?
Well, like the picture he got him, the montage of Jax's worst look when he was like,
ah, yes,
you know, for during the roast.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, that's what you look like, Jax. And no, it's not actually a good look physically either.
No. Yeah, I was hoping for a little bit more out of Jax and Kristen. I think that they probably could have attended his performance. Oh, hold on. We have to talk about his performance for a moment. I found myself like bobbing my head to his rapping, not only in this episode, but in the after show.
Right.
It's a little catchy, and when he gets going, it's good.
Yeah. I mean, I thought his song with Lala was a little catchy.
Yeah. It's, huh.
And it was good to know that he and Lala are still like best friends. Lala has a boyfriend, but he wouldn't name who is because Andy said he couldn't.
Yeah. That was so weird. Interesting.
That was bizarre.
Yeah.
So maybe he did sign a NDA or something. And so Andy's like, no, don't say it.
Yes. But I wonder
the producer is Andy's boss.
I wonder if Stassi got in trouble for tweeting out his name, and that really caused a lot of problems because James did say that he was a Hollywood producer type, and that is the person's name that she tweeted out. Hmm. Hashtag Randall. So overall, this episode was good. It did not disappoint. Watch What Happens Live was fun, and his performance was fun. I thought it was funny that Steve Aoki guy was there, and he said he was fangirling over the fact that the most famous DJ was going to watch him perform. He did good.
Yeah.
It was awkward when they asked Raquel how she was doing. She was in the audience, and she's like, this isn't really fun to go through.
Right.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Talk about the Ellie and Gigi. Well, in the poll, like, you know, did James do it? And of course, it was like 94% yes, which I'm sure he did. You know, who knows on the timing? I'm sure he messed up on the timing a little bit. Who knows if, you know, all of it's true, what they're claiming, or just some of it. Who knows?
But yeah, and then
it's in the past, you know?
Yes.
And that was probably early on in their relationship. So maybe she's just like, fuck it, as long as I know what's going to happen going forward.
Yeah. But a redeeming thing that maybe would help Raquel feel better is the fact that Chrissy Teigen and John Legend called in and said they were fans of DJ James.
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool. I mean, when he is on, the episode is always popping.
Yeah.
It brings like, it's like two types of drama, because there's like the normal group drama, and then he brings like a little bit of a lightning rod, just like they said. So we're excited for next week. It looks good. And please tweet us or Instagram us any questions that you have. We're going to try to roll out some new stuff for you. And then also, if you check our feed on iTunes, you'll notice that Chad and I are going to do a little recap going back through the seasons of season one, episode one, episode two. We're going to go through the old episodes just because we want more Vanderpump. So
where do they tweet you?
Tweet us, or you can email us at vanderpumprulesparty@gmail.com. And our Instagram is Vanderpump Rules Party. And our Twitter is VPR Party Podcast. So you can tweet us there. We're super active on Twitter. We're having so much fun on there. So thank you guys so much for listening. And we'll be back next week.
Awesome. Bye.
Bye.